now it's time for Rod and Reel Radio with your hosts, Hop Along John Cassidy, fresh and saltwater expert angler Stan Vanderberg, and all-around outdoors, fishing, and hunting enthusiast Wendy Toshihara. If you love the outdoors, enjoy salt or freshwater fishing, this is the show for you. We'll cover most all of the fishing tournaments and events with special reports while providing you with the information you need as to how and where to experience the best fishing opportunities in Southern California, Baja, Alaska, or just about anywhere the fish are biting. We have some fantastic guests and reports lined up for you this evening, so sit back, relax, and get ready for the fastest 2 hours in radio. It's all right here, right now, on Rod and Reel Radio, the best stop on your radio dial for all the information you need for fishing opportunities all over the United States. Now here's your host, Hop Along, John Cassidy.
Hey, thank you, Mark Larson, and welcome, Southern California, to another Sunday edition of Rod and Reel Radio, live here on Radio Zion. Hey, it's great to welcome you to the show. I'm glad you could take a little time. A lot of news there, a lot of things to follow. This is a good time to sit back, get away from it all, and let's talk about one of our favorite subjects. That's fishing. Let me give you an opportunity to hear what is in store for you tonight on Rod and Reel Radio. We're going to have Mr. Kurt Hill with us, and Kurt is from a company called PowerPole. And PowerPole is probably one of the most original, innovative products to come down the pike in a little bit. We're going to hear how it came about, the history of the company, what it does, and what they're going to be doing in the future. And then later on, Stan is going to take us through a tour of the Eastern Sierras. We've got the trout opener coming on up. We're going to visit Crowley Lake. We're going to visit June Lake. And then we're going to run up to Bridgeport and see what's happening there. So we also have a surprise or two in store for you. So sit back and relax. But before we get started with the show, man, this is the first opportunity that Stan, Wendy, and I have had a chance to be live on the air for a long time. So I want to bring him into the show now. First of all, my co-host, he's the voice of 1-800-BASS-BOAT and a pretty darn good angler in his own right, both freshwater and saltwater, Stan Vanderberg. Stan, how you doing?
Good evening, everybody. Good evening, John and Wynn. It's great to be back. Man, I'll tell you what, my garage and my yard are reorganized to a point where, and I even have a brand new Ghost trolling motor on the front of my boat now that is not calibrated because I have not been able to get to the water since I put it on in the first part of March. So tomorrow I'm going to the pond. Yippee-ki-yay.
That sounds good. Hey, Stan, let's bring on our other co-host. She is the national sales manager for Iserline. She represents many other fine products in the fishing industry. She is also an expert fisherman and hunter. And I understand that she is now going to be the new poster child for Gordon Fish Sticks, Miss Wendy Toshihara. Wendy, howdy.
Hello there. Yes, I am now partners with Captain Merritt McCrae's Catch of the Day.
That's cooler than heck. You are now the commercial fishing woman.
I am.
Boy, gave you an
eye. Any way to get on the water.
Yeah, a way to scratch.
Great excuse to go catch them and make money while you're doing it. That's super good.
Now, Wendy, as one of Southern California's newest commercial fishermen, number one, what are you going after right now? And number two, where do you drop off your catch?
So we decided to start off with rockfish. So we're fishing rockfish right now, and we're selling them in Orange County in Cypress at a property that we own. And we're just opened up shop yesterday, and it was amazing. You know, no notice, didn't post it on Facebook for the Cypress community page, and people just showed up. It was neat.
Wow. Hey, guys, you know, we haven't been on live for a few weeks here, even though we've been doing new recorded information. And I know, you know, we all have tidbits of information of breaking news and things that are happening. And Wendy, let me start off with you, because we've talked about this in the past with the newest artificial reef that is going to be happening off our coastline. And I think either you or Merritt McCray want to tell our listening audience just a little bit about what this is all about.
Yeah, sure. I'm going to have Merritt talk about the artificial reef. Both Merritt and I are the co-chairs for Coastal Conservation Association California's Habitat Committee. And Merritt wrote a letter and was instrumental in helping CCA write this letter. So I'm going to have Merritt talk about it right now.
All right, Merritt, welcome to the show.
Howdy, how are you doing today?
We're doing great. Hey, tell us a little bit. I understand, is the name of this reef going to be the Montrose Reef, or has it changed since I last looked?
Well, let me tell you, the guy who spearheaded it, Dr. Dan Pondella, who was successful in getting this thing permitted and the project finally going after actually 30 years, gosh, he jokes about it ultimately being called the Trump Reefs because they're actually right off the southern end of the Trump golf course up there on Palos Verdes.
All right. Good. 30 years to get an artificial reef together. Just quickly, what seemed to be the problem with putting an artificial reef that it would take 30 years to get approved, Merritt?
Well, it turns out that this is part of the Montrose Settlement Program, and it was a result of a lawsuit that was won back in 1990. In about 2000, they set aside the money for it. I think it was something like $3 million. And then there was an initial attempt to get a project off of Belmont Pier started, which ended up falling apart due to a permit. Permitting is pretty difficult in the state. And it's taken all that time since for Dr. Dan Pondella's proposal to get approved. And finally, the first rocks went into the water in early May.
Wow. And how long is it going to take for them to put this together, do you think?
Well, he told me they got their first module done on May 11th, and then also added that he expected the barge to be back and building out the rest of the 18 structures that are six modules each, but 18 of them, starting in August. But I looked on the vessel AIS, and it looks like there's a barge there right now, so they may be working on it. And to answer to your question, I think they're expecting it to be done pretty much by the end of the year, ultimately.
Hey, Merritt, explain what a module is, what they're doing on this new artificial reef. Because they've shown some pictures of, like, a barge full of concrete block and a tractor. But what are they actually doing? How are they building this?
So the contractor is bringing over rock. It's all Catalina rock because that's the material that got approved. So it's all natural quarry rock. And they're building these 18 modules, which are composed of six submodules each, two of which are high relief that extend up 4 meters off the seafloor. They're about 57 feet of water and top out in about 44. So perfect calico bass sheephead territory. And they're building those things alongside several other lower submodules. It's a total of six, as I'd mentioned, one at about a meter and another another set that are about 2 meters off the bottom. So there's both high and low relief structure there. We expect it to be great stuff because one thing about artificial reefs is they have an awful lot of what they call interstitial space. And that is space between the rocks, and that's key for the fish we like to catch.
Wow. Go on, Stan.
I was going to say, once that sits in there for a while and it gets, you know, the fish get accustomed to it, one, it'll get some sea life that'll start to grow on it. That becomes an area because it's structured high and low, medium, where the fish can utilize, you know, there's a lot of different species that'll actually utilize that structure.
You know, we always talk about the benefit to fish and fishing when an artificial reef goes in. But, you know, what gets uncounted a lot of times are all the sessile invertebrates that attach to those reefs. And it's amazing. Tons and tons, like on an oil platform, it'll be 30 tons of living stuff that's on the legs of the platform.
Wow.
Excuse me, 300 tons, not 30.
Wow.
300 tons is what I think the estimate was.
Wow.
Hey, a lot of you might recognize Merritt's name. Merritt is also one of the prime writers for Western Outdoor News. And Merritt, we even interrupted you while you were writing. What can we look forward to? What are you talking about for the next issue of Western Outdoor News?
Well, one thing that's going on, as you mentioned, was that in San Diego, the County Board of Supervisors is entertaining a proposal to open up sport fishing this week, the sport fishing landings, which would be great. Right now, Orange County landings are getting going. Both Davies Locker and then Dana Wharf, they've been taking people out fishing for the last week or so. And then Santa Barbara County at Sea Landing, they've been fishing. And then up at Port San Luis and up in Morro Bay, San Luis Obispo County has gotten people back out on the water on the party boats. But there is one thing. They do require social distancing, so it's like every trip is a limited load trip, and it'll cost a little bit more, but you definitely get a little bit more elbow room out of it.
It seems like it's pretty spotty. Our good friends that run Salty Lady out of Sausalito, they were all ready to go out for salmon, and then they were shut down at the last minute, and I don't know what the concern was over there. But for you individuals that have been asking about the San Diego fleet, as Merritt mentioned, County Board of Supervisors are meeting this Tuesday, June the 2nd, and there is already a motion in front of them to open up the San Diego fleet to go out. San Diego fleet has already vented all their sanitizing and distancing protocols for the county to look at. And for the most part, these are the same protocols that have opened up the landings all up and down the coast. So hopefully, come late Tuesday, we should have some definitive information on when the landings are going to be open. So that should be pretty nice.
Are you going to go to the meeting, John?
I will not, unfortunately. All the meetings are... you can either make your comments by email, or you can telephone them in. And email is the best way to, I think, to contact the Board of Supervisors, because they physically have something in their hand that they can weigh. We've run into the same situation with trying to open up the San Diego City Lakes. San Diego City Lakes are just not close to being opened up, and everything is being thrown in front of us, like the coronavirus. We don't have money in the budget. We don't have staffing. There's just a whole bunch of stuff. Now the latest thing is, really, when it comes down to it, no one in the city, no one in the county wants to run the program. So we only have three city lakes opened here, which are Murray, Miramar, and Otay, and right now we stand the chance of losing Sutherland, Barrett, El Capitan, Hodges, and San Vicente, not only temporarily, but permanently. The city council says, well, we're going to take it under advisement and look at it, but that's actually them saying, you know what, we're not going to do anything about this in our current budget, and we're going to kick it down the road, and maybe after a little while, everyone will forget about it. But you know what? That just is not happening. And
I have a question.
Yeah.
What about, did any of boaters and the Boatings and Waterway pay for the launch ramps? Don't they have to keep it open?
The answer to that, Wendy, is yes, but also there is also sort of like a termination clause that after so many years, it's kind of termed out, where the whatever the municipal authority is that received those monies, they don't necessarily have to abide by the agreement. And here in San Diego, it's 25 years, and some of those facilities here in San Diego are being termed out. So it's just an unfortunate situation. We're working hard to get the city lakes open. Hey, guys, listen, Merritt, thanks for giving us an update on that reef, and we look forward to reading more about the stories that you produce in Western Outdoor News. Thanks for being with us, if you're still with us, Merritt.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It was fun being on the radio with you.
All right.
Had their Thanks, first medical boats on that reef the very next day.
Right. Hey, you listen to Rod and Reel Radio on AM 540, or you can listen to us live on rodandreelradio.com. And we appreciate you guys that download us on the local radio apps or rodreelradio.com. It's a tremendous number, and thank you very much for taking the time to listen to us. We're going to take a break right now, but coming up next, Kurt Hill from Power Pole is going to be with us. So stay tuned. You're going to want to hear what that's all about.
Hi, Roland Martin here. I'd like to tell you a little about Gary Yamamoto and the Gary Yamamoto Custom Bait Company. It all started with an idea, then a dream, and in 1983, the Gary Yamamoto Custom Bait Company was formed. If you know Gary Yamamoto like I do, and I've known him since 1983, you know he has a passionate love for the sport of fishing. That love is only matched by his obsession to design and produce the highest quality soft-plastic fishing lures on the market today. Every bait Gary makes is inspected by hand. Today, more than 2.5 million packages of bait are shipped worldwide. On behalf of Gary and his staff, he wants to thank his customers for thinking so highly of his products and wishing you the great success at the sport of fishing. Whether you fish for fun or fish a tournament circuits like I do, you'll honor Gary for making Gary Yamamoto Custom Baits a key part of your fishing experience. Take it from me, Roland Martin. When I'm in need of a go-to bait, my first choice is a Gary Yamamoto Custom Bait.
Turner's Outdoorsman, California's number one fishing, hunting, and shooting sports retailer, now has 28 locations. Turner's is your one-stop shop for fishing tackle, hunting gear, and everything for shooting sports. Turner's offers a full selection and unmatched prices on the gear you need. Whether you're planning a fishing trip with the family or chasing giant tuna, Turner's highly skilled staff will make sure you have the gear for your next adventure. Visit Turners.com to find a Turner store near you and be sure to join the Turner's Discount Club to get weekly ads and specials right to your inbox. Turner's Outdoorsman, your one-stop shop for all your fishing needs.
We all like to travel, whether it's for business or it's pleasure. But one thing we all like to do, it's save money. Well, we got a travel tip for you. Bill Boyce has put together a travel website for you that can save you a lot of money. You can become your own travel agent. The site is bookwithboyce.com. You're going to save yourself 5 to 35% on all nationally advertised travel rates. You want to go to Mexico? You want to go to Hawaii? Bookwithboyce.com can offer you outstanding prices. And here's the deal. There's no surprises for accommodations, rental cars, or activities. So try bookwithboyce.com now and thank Bill Boyce later on.
Hi, this is Lori Heath. You may know me from some of the fishing boats out of San Diego. I want to talk to you about something that's really close to my heart. Did you know that when you donate blood, you're not only helping others, you're also helping yourself? Donating blood lowers the risk of heart attacks in men by more than 70%, lowers the risk of developing cancer, and helps you maintain a healthy liver. So donate blood to help someone else and to help yourself. If you can't donate, you can still make a difference with the financial gift. It's the best way to give back. Hook, line, and sinker. And for more information and to make a financial donation or an appointment, visit sandiegobloodbank.org. That's the sandiegobloodbank.org. And just to let you know, I'm also a blood donor.
I always wear a life jacket when I'm on the water because I'm lazy. I like floating like a giant turtle covered with SPF 50. The life jacket does the work. I highly recommend this to everyone. Save the ones you love. A message from California State Parks Division of Boating and Waterways.
This portion of Rod and Reel Radio is brought to you by the Rockley's Fish Release System. Now you can quickly and easily release fish suffering from barotrauma back to the depths they were caught. Look or ask for the Rockleys at your local fishing tackle dealer. Hey, Stan, Wendy, and I, we want to welcome you back to Rod and Reel Radio. Hey, when we ended the last segment, we were talking about opening up the city limits here in San Diego County. If you want more information about what's happening, here's the Facebook page you should go to. It's California Recreation Freedom Alliance. If you go to that Facebook page, you're going to find a petition and also a list of the city councilmen and the county board of supervisors that you should be contacting to let your voice be known that you want the remaining San Diego city lakes that are not opened, opened and opened immediately. Hey, let's get on to our next guest. Hey, this is a company that I've been trying to get on for a little while. I'm glad we could finally do it. This company has probably produced one of the most innovative products to come along in the fishing industry in a long time. There's a lot of great products out there, but normally they're improvements of a product that was developed earlier, and they add on more and more and more as time goes on. But this product was truly innovative, and now you're seeing the pros using it on all their boats. It's called the Power Pro. We want to bring on from JL Marine Services, the Power Pole Trolling Boat Control Company, Mr. Kurt Hill. Kurt, welcome to Rod and Reel Radio.
Hey, how are you today?
Man, Stan, Wendy, and I, we are doing well, and thanks for taking the time, and especially the fact that you're on the East Coast, that you could spend a little time with us, especially as late in the evening as it's getting in your part of the world.
Problem. I'm glad to be a part of the radio show. Thanks for having me on and inviting me over.
Right. Hey, here's the question. The Power Pole is such a unique item. Can you give us a little idea about the history of the company, who came up with it, why there was a need for it, and tell us a little bit how the product has progressed since it was first introduced?
The inventor of the product is, and the owner of JL Marine Systems is John Oliverio. He is a redfish tournament angler down here in Florida. Obviously, we're in Tampa, and he's a Brandon native. I don't know if anybody knows the Tampa area, but he was out fishing a redfish tournament and would come up on a school of fish, and the way he would stop his boat at that time was with a mushroom anchor on a short piece of rope. And he would drop it down in the flat, and it just wouldn't keep him on target with those fish. Conversely, he would try a second method, which was to use the trolling motor, spin it around to the opposite direction, and he would actually blow the fish out. Because when they're on the flats, you know, they're only in 2 foot of water or less, and sometimes that's where the fish are, so you got to be there to target them. And he just thought there has to be a better way. And he went home, figured it out with his Legos, and tried to figure out a design that would work. Didn't exactly know all the intricacies of what it would become, but came up with an articulating design that we have today. The original one was a telescoping style design, but you know, just like the antennas, if you put some pressure on them, they would bind up. And with what he had available to him, he just couldn't figure out a good way for it to be effective. So the articulating design of the power pole that you see today is still basically the original design. Now, we've done some modifications over the time where the product has gotten slimmer, we've gotten better pumps and the hydraulics that we utilize, and that all started back in 1998.
Wow. Kind of draw a picture for us and maybe some of the people that may be listening that are saltwater fishermen and they're used to fishing in, you know, 100 fathoms of water. Just exactly what the power pole is and what it does and how it works.
So it's a shallow water anchor. You're seeing a lot more on the bass boats and flats boats and bay boats and things like that. And our deepest model goes up to 10 feet. So 10 feet is what we consider shallow water, that and anything below it. And it's got a pivot point at the top, and then it's got a pivot point at the bottom, and there's a hydraulic cylinder in the middle that allow those two pivot points to articulate out and down, almost like a mantis arm, if you would, is the way that it would go out. There's a fiberglass composite spike that actually stabs down into the bottom, whatever the seafloor is in your area, rocks, grass, sand, and it'll punch about a quarter-size hole into the bottom. So with a traditional like claw anchor, you know, you're normally, when you have to retrieve it, you're pulling up some of the bottoms, you're ripping up some of the seagrasses and things like that, and it's just not very good for the environment. So with ours only punching a little quarter-size hole or dragging a little line, it doesn't affect the environment underneath the boat. The other thing to be environmentally friendly is our hydraulic fluid that we include with every unit is actually 100% biodegradable. So, you know, it's that's the product. I hope I explained it in a way that you can kind of visualize what it is. But
we're closing in on it. Now, tell us, where are the power poles mounted on the vessel? And can a fisherman get away using one, or is there a couple or multi? How are these things actually applied to a fisherman's use?
That's very good questions. If you've got a flat transom, you can bolt it directly to the transom of the boat. They do always go at the stern of the boat. We do offer adapter plates that can be bolted either in between the motor and transom or directly to a jack plate that's already on the boat. So a lot of these jack plate companies has worked with us to integrate holes for our bolts to go through and actually put the adapter plates on. The question about a single versus dual, you will see a lot of the bass boats are running two, and even a lot of the flats and bay boats are now running two as well. But you can get by with only having one. You're going to be like a weather vane. So whether the wind or current is stronger, whichever force against the boat is stronger, that's the direction you're going to point. So downwind or down current. With two, you know, you can position your boat in such a way where you're against the current or sideways to it, as long as it's, you know, within the tolerances of the product. And it's basically our hydraulic anchors are 4,500-pound boats up to 28 feet.
Wow. You know, tell me, you know, we here in the West can sometimes on our desert lakes fish in very windy conditions. If you're fishing Lake Mead, Mojave, Lake Havasu, what type of torque or tensile strength can the power poles hold a boat in position on before you go, hey, we don't recommend it that you use it at this particular depth or whatever?
Well, like I said before, they go up to 10 feet. That's our deepest model that we have available. If there is a point in which we do have relief valves built into our product, so if the conditions get so extreme that our product can no longer hold the boat, the relief valve will give in and actually allow the anchor to release a little bit, and the boat will push away from that spot.
Okay, and
I got a question on your, when you're saying that the boats, many of the guys out here and well across the nation now put power poles on their boats for especially in movement water where there's movement like the Delta or the Mississippi, you know, any of that arena where there's movement, water movement, it becomes a real tool. And then the other time is when it's shallow water, when you're bed fishing and the guys are in that environment where they got to stay and kind of pick away at a fish and then make that happen. Your redfish fishing is like that. But you said boats to 28 feet long, you can put these things on? Yes, hello?
Kurt, are you still with us?
Oh, I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, you can put them on. You can put these on boats to 28 feet, and you can only go down 10 feet. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes.
With a 28 footer, man, 10 feet. Are those boats mostly fishing in the offshore region?
Sometimes they'll fish like we see it more on like bay boats. Fishing for like tarpon on the beach and stuff here in Florida get to those lengths, but generally any of your inshore or bass boats are falling within those requirements, and those are the boats that we most tailor to.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Most of the guys are using those.
Kurt, how long typically does it take to deploy the power pole from it being in a resting position to it being actually, you know, anchored into the ground and, you know, holding the boat back?
It does kind of depend on the conditions and the speed the boat is traveling when you first deploy it to be stopped, but it'll fully deploy in under 5 seconds.
Wow, I didn't realize it was that quick. You know, it's amazing. It just seemed like it wasn't that long ago. You'd see a boat streaking down the water, and you'd see these apparatuses in the stern of the boat kind of look like grasshopper legs sticking in the back. And
I have a question.
Go on, Wendy.
Sorry about that. I want to know how heavy are the power poles, and do they affect the boat in any way as far as travel?
Those are great questions. Each unit, so if you're running duals, you'll have to double the weight. But each unit, it depends on which one you get, but they can go up to 32 pounds, and that's our 10-foot. And that's everything included, the oil, the pump, the pole mounted to the boat. So as far as the weight effect on a boat, it's very minimum. And then the drag, we've actually gone more aerodynamic over the years. If you look at our Blade Edition, it's the most aerodynamic one that we have. It's about 2.5 inches thick, so they're not very thick. And then it doesn't really affect the performance of a vessel that much.
You know, Wendy, the only down point of the power pole that I've ever seen, to tell you the truth, is they sometimes stick up so high that if you try to get into your garage with them fully deployed, you know about it. So sometimes you got to ease back a little bit on them. Kurt, are there different types of power poles, or is it one size fits all, or what?
It's pretty much one size fits all. We have three different models, but those really just come down to the features that you want to be able to have in the holding strength and stopping ability of them. So it goes with our Sportsman series starting at $1,300 and then our Pro series. But the Sportsman's only available in one size and one color, which is 8-foot black. The Pro series, which is the next one up, we offer them all the way down to 4-foot, 6-foot, and 8-footers in white or black. And then our Blade is the 8 and 10-footer. And those ones come in four different colors, white, black, blue, and red.
Well, so you can match any just about any color scheme an angler comes up with for their boats.
We can, and we do all of our own powder coating in-house. And there is an additional fee, but if you wanted a custom powder-coated unit, we could powder coat it in-house to whatever color sample you can send us, and then you'll have exactly what you want on your boat.
Kurt, We're coming up to a commercial break, and I have a few more questions that I want to ask you. And we want to see what feedback you've gotten from the fishermen, their success stories using the power pole. Can you spend a little more time with us, sir?
Yes, sir.
Hey, okay. Hey, Stan, Wendy, and I, we're going to take a break right now. You're listening to Rod and Reel Radio on AM 540 or at rodandreelradio.com. Stay tuned. There's a lot more to come with Kurt Hill from the Power Pole Total Boat Control System. We'll be back after these messages.
Hi, this is John, and I'd like to invite you to the new Angler's Arsenal location in Lakeside, California. We've put together a staff of experts that'll help you find the tackle and gear you need at a price you can afford. We carry all major brands. And if you need custom work done, we can do that for you with both rods and reels. How about servicing your old equipment? No problem. We can do it quickly, easily, at a price you can afford. We also do custom hand-poured plastics through Western Plastics. Design the lure of your dreams and catch the fish that have been getting away. So come and visit us in Lakeside. We're at 12255 Woodside Avenue. Or you can visit us at anglersarsenal.com. If you need to call us, we're at 619-466-8355. See you there.
Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. The Gamakatsu sharpening process is the most modern in the world and results in a perfectly conical point that is unequaled in sharpness. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing, drop shot, extra wide gap, worm hooks, finesse wide gap, and a lot more. Gamakatsu has a hook for whatever style of fishing you want to do. Don't waste your time on a cheap hook. Ask for Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
We want to tell our listeners a little about Bajo La Luna restaurant, located within a lush hidden garden in the heart of Cabo San Lucas. This family-run restaurant offers patrons a selection of unbelievable tapas, the most delicious Mexican entrees, an outstanding selection of wines and crafted cocktails, and the most amazing desserts, all served in an upscale, casual, outdoors atmosphere at prices you'll find very affordable. When you visit Bajo La Luna, mention Rod and Real Radio, and there might just be a complimentary beverage served with your dining experience. Bajo La Luna is located right across the street from Cabo Wabo and offers free or valet parking. Get all the information you'll need to visit Bajo La Luna Restaurant on Facebook. Just click their direct link icon found on rodandrealradio.com.
Are you looking for a quality fishing experience out of Cabo San Lucas for you, your family, and friends, but are a little set back with what charter company to choose? We urge you to use American and family-owned Lands End Charters. Lands End Charters offers their passengers affordable and all-inclusive services on a variety of vessels and trips. Fish with the latest of fishing gear while experiencing the hospitality of a long-time-owned family business. Go to LensandCharters.com to see all of their vessels and amenities available. Call Cobble, Greg, or Jenny at 800-281-5778 when you're ready for an action-packed Cabo fishing experience. Hey, everybody. This is a message for our listeners from a new Baja Magic Lodge at Cedros Island. Cedros Outdoor Adventures wants to make your dream of fish at Cedros Island a reality. Want to go after giant calicos or yellowtail with the best Cedros Island fishing organization, but you just don't know who to contact? Then give Cedros Outdoor Adventures a call at 619-793-5419, or even better yet, log on to their informative website at cedrosoutdooradventures.com. There you can visit their trip calendar and schedule a trip that's convenient for you. Once again, the phone number is 619-793-5419 or their website of CedrosOutdoorAdventures.com.
Rod and Reel Radio is brought to you by BajaBound.com Insurance Services. Are you driving to Mexico? You can buy and print out your Mexican auto insurance policy online in the convenience of your own home or office in minutes now with BajaBound.com's easy-to-use website. After printing your auto insurance, check out the BajaBound.com site. There, too, you will find great travel tips and information to help you get the most out of your next road trip south of the border. So this is an important fact to remember. Use BajaBound.com. It's the easiest way to find and get Mexican auto insurance.
If you're serious about your fishing, choosing the right tackle is one of the most important decisions you'll ever make. Iserline makes premium fishing lines, including monofilament, Dacron, Spectra, fluorocarbon, battle-tested harnesses, and top angler-tested Iserline tools and accessories. Iserline premium fishing products are created to provide you with the ultimate in strength, dependability, durability, high abrasion resistance, low stretch, and high quality. All Iserline products are 100% guaranteed against manufacturing defects. You just can't buy better value. Iserline will replace or repair at their option, no questions asked, if you're not pleased with any of their products. Catch what you've been missing. Quality guaranteed.
Rod and Reel Radio is now available as a podcast you can subscribe to on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcasting app. Get notified as soon as new episodes are available, or go back and listen to our past shows. Browse through all of our archive shows at rodandreelradio.com/archives and click the subscribe button to get started listening now.
Stan Vandenberg, Wendy Toshihara, and I, we want to welcome you back to Rod and Reel Radio. Our special guest this hour is Mr. Kurt Hale. He is from the Power Pole Total Boat Control Company. A lot of people, you may know it as JL Marine Services. And Kurt, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Hey, Kurt, it just so happens that we have a caller in that has called us. I don't know if you know this gentleman or not, but he is on the Power Pro staff, And he has probably a little practical knowledge also on the power pole bolt control system. Let's say hello to him, Mr. John Murray. John, welcome to Rod and Reel Radio.
Hey, guys. Good to be on again. Perfect timing. I'm heading to Florida. It's perfect timing to be talking about power pole controls right now.
Johnny, how are you, buddy?
Doing good.
Don't have it any other way.
Yeah. You know, Kurt, let's start off with you. First of all, in the early days of power pole, how was it accepted? And were there success stories or setbacks or what that helped the evolution of the product?
With any new product, there's going to be setbacks and hesitations of anglers. You could probably ask John the same thing. I'm sure he had his hesitations as well and wanted to see it being proved that it worked. The best success story that I can say for our company was Greg and Brian Watts, the winningest redfish team there is. And John, our owner of our company, gave one to Greg Watts, and his brother, Brian, was skeptical about even having it. He's like, I don't even know why you're putting that on the boat. They went out, fished a tournament together. As soon as they got off the water, he went and found John and said, I need one too. And then from there, those two guys went on to continue winning with the benefits of a powerful shallow water anchor on their boat and helping sell even more and getting the jump start of the company basically going in the saltwater market.
Right. Hey, John, you're formerly from Arizona. Did you have the power pole when you were living in Arizona? I mean, God, would that have not been the perfect product? You know, we had a hard enough time beating you on Lake Mead and Mojave and everything like that without power poles. Can you imagine how that would have helped you there? And now that you're on the Tennessee River fishing a lot, do you find that you have good applications for using the power pole product?
It's almost, you know, you can't have a boat anymore. You can't have a tournament bass boat without power poles. I was one of the guys that had a power pole in the beginning, and a friend of mine, Andre Moore, had two, and I'm like, I wonder, he goes, try two and see what it does. And it changed everything. We used to anchor. We used to throw a little piece of anchor and drag your boat up on the bank to try to sight fish on Lake Mead. I mean, power poles back in the day would have changed everything 20 years ago for our fishermen out there. So right now it's just, you're spoiled. You're just purely spoiled when you want to fish any kind of shallow cover or any kind of sight fishing with power poles. It's easy.
Yeah.
Johnny, you're going down to Florida here pretty quick and explain a little bit of what you're fishing and then how to utilize the power pole in that fishery.
Well, the lakes I'm going to is the Kissimmee chain, which is, you know, the you're never really fishing over 8 or 10 feet of water. So anytime you need to stop, anytime you need to, make another cast, power poles go right down. You don't even think about it anymore. I mean, you step right on them. It just stops you, and then you can, you know, rethink what you're going to do in your area. So it's made for Florida lakes because you can do it all across the whole lake. It's so funny. It's an involuntary use right now. You just go step on it, like when you miss a fish or you miss a bite, you just step on the power pole down, and keep fishing.
Right.
Like in nature, Kurt, to you.
Oh, Kurt, is a power pole, do you use the same product in saltwater applications as you do in freshwater applications? And how does saltwater affect the product over the long range?
So saltwater is obviously a harsher environment than freshwater. All of our products are built for saltwater, and yes, it is the exact same product that we see on all the bass boats. So it can withstand anything freshwater can basically throw at it because it's built for saltwater.
Yeah. John, we got John Murray with us too. He's just happened to call in because we were talking to Mr. Kurt Hill from Power Pro Company, and John is on the Power Pro staff. John, one of the great questions that Wendy asked was the performance of actually your boat. Does having two power poles on there and the weight that is probably comparable to maybe a deep-celled marine battery, Does that affect the performance of your boat at all?
No, the boats have gotten so big. I have a 21-foot Ranger with a 215 Mercury four-stroke. I mean, it's just built for, you know, it's not the old-school 17, 18-foot boat with a 150. This thing, you know, you can add all the weight you want. You don't notice anything. It rides like a Cadillac, and it's all about fishability now. It's not about speed. I think years ago we were about speed. Now we want to get there. We want to be fit, comfortable when we fish, and we want to be efficient when we fish. So that's what the power pole thing. The power pole has changed everything. The one other thing I know Kurt probably mentioned is the power pole charging system. Oh, my God, it's changing the way all of us view batteries and charging batteries. And, you know, that's just a new step that they've come out with. It's changing the industry again.
John, can you talk about that yet?
Yeah.
Hold on, Wendy. You had a question.
Yeah. I have no idea what the charging system is on the Power Pro. Can you elaborate on that?
Well, this is a new system that Brent Ayler and Skeet Reese, my roommates, ran this year. And basically, you're running a system that monitors your batteries, and your trolling motor stays good all day. And so, what the application is really for when we're sight fishing. And we're just using trolling motor, you run your trolling motor batteries down under normal situations. With this charging system, you come in after a day of fishing, you plug in your plug, and in 20 minutes, your batteries are all fully charged because it's maintained your charge off your motor and everything else. It's just a balanced charging system. And, we used to have to come in and recharge our batteries or carry extra batteries. I mean, it's just changed the way we're fishing. And, you just wait a little bit. They're going to come out with something new that's going to, you know, change the way people are fishing. And this is another one that's coming along.
Yeah, I would
Kurt,
like to
I'm
elaborate
to
on that if I can.
Because, you know, we've been talking about the power pole, but the parent company, JL Marine Services, it sounds like you have some other innovative products that are in the line. Is there are there other products that we should know about or that you're working on that maybe you can give us a hint on what might be available either now or in the future?
Yeah. On the charge that John was talking about, that replaces three different products. It's your onboard charger, it's a charge on the run, it's an emergency jump start, and it maintains your batteries throughout the all day. And there's an app available, so if you ever have any question about where your battery status is at, you can pull up our app. You can see exactly what your output of your batteries are in each individual one. So it monitors every single one. So if you're running a 36-volt trolling motor and your 12-volt cranking battery, it's looking at all of those, and on the app you'll be able to see the output of each individual battery.
You know how valuable that is with today's electronics. You switch on as soon as you start your boat and you turn the electronics on, the one thing that pulls more amperage than anything else is your GPS. And with everything you got nowadays is working to speak with your trolling motor, your electronics, they're all working back and forth. And the drain you have on your main battery, because that's normally what you've got your electronics hooked up to, is huge. To have a situation where you're not halfway through the day when you hit the ignition, your electronics aren't blinking off, is huge.
Yeah, the charger actually, with the maintenance that it does, it can transfer power from the batteries that have them to the batteries that need them. So not only will it take the charge from the alternator and feed it to your trolling motor batteries, it can also feed it to your cranking battery, as well as pull power throughout the day of fishing when nothing's charging. It can pull power from your trolling motor batteries and give it back to your 12 volts. So at the end of the day of fishing, you can still fire your motor.
Now, is this a separate system that you don't have to have power poles to have this? You can buy this separately so it works with all your batteries and all your systems across the board?
Correct. Yeah, you don't have to have our anchors at all.
You know, Kurt, this sounds like it's also a tremendous product maybe for RV users or other applications where people are using deep cycle batteries outside of the marine industry. Is there an application that you've thought about for people outside of the marine industry?
Well, the Charger just came out in November, and we're focused on the marine industry because that's the industry we've been in with our anchors. So we built it to have the 12-volt and a 24 or 36-volt trolling motor system. It is for fishing boats, and we don't have the other applications in place now, but that is definitely something we considered for the future.
Well, yeah, you can tell John that we suggested it, okay?
Yeah, we'll do.
Hey, John Murray, you've used this charging system before. Tell us, when you are using an outside source to recharge your batteries, do you have to somehow disconnect the system from your batteries, or does everything go together that using an outside source to charge does not hurt the system?
No, I did not get the system because I got my boat in September. Brent and Steve got it. And, yeah, they just come in, they plug it in, and it's done. I mean, they're like, oh, we're charged. And mine are out there with the old system charging all night long, hopefully getting a full charge. So, no, it's something I want next year. But, no, I'm telling you, it's just a plug and play. I mean, it's not a complicated system. It's just easy to use like everything else that they make. It just works.
Yeah.
You know, why is it, John, every time I talk to you, you cost me money? You know, a while back, you know, we were talking about, you asked me, hey, Stan, have you gotten a new, you know, troll motor that you can, you know, you can stop wherever you want and let it hang? And I said, no, I've been waiting. I'm not a lemming. As an old guy, you kind of wait and you see how the products work before you go buy them. And you want to make sure that it's working right. So I didn't have the troll motor that would work where you step on it and stop. And he said, well, you know, when you get it, for you and me, it's like cheating. So my boat was in the shop. I had to borrow my brother's boat. He had a new Ultrax on his. And the only time I fished with that stop and stay a new sensation that I had not had, I won that tournament. And now I've got the new Ghost that I put on my boat. And now I'm going to have to get this new system here for the charging, because that's invaluable in today's fishery, the way that, you know, electronics pull and draw. I mean, just that alone, the power poles have changed fishing immensely for us. But, you know, every time you turn around, there's something new. You know, this is pretty cool.
Kurt, just to clarify it, the charging system is not available on the market yet, or is it soon to be, or what?
No, it is out on the market. You can get it at your local dealers.
All right. And when you talk about local dealers, tell us approximately how many power poles are out there and how many dealers do we have to choose from to find power poles?
Well, with 20 years of making power poles, I can't tell you how many are out there. I have no idea. But we've got over 2,500 dealers across the country. We're in Canada and we're in places in Europe as well. So Australia and South America also. So we're kind of become international for all these great fisheries that are out there. But we keep moving forward and we're going to keep solving problems that anglers have. So,
all right. Kurt, just one last question before we let you go. If people want to find out more about the power pole, see how it works and everything like that, where can they go to get this information?
PowerPole.com is going to be your best source. You can also look on YouTube. We've got lots of videos on that charger that we were talking about. And there was one other product that we never did mention. If you're a kayak angler, check out our micro anchor. It's a power pole for your kayak, small boats, John boats, paddle boards, all the way down, you know. So go to PowerPole.com and check us out.
Well, Kurt Hill from Power Pole Company, thanks a lot for taking some time to be with us on this Sunday evening. I appreciate you letting us know what the product was. It was great having you on.
Yeah, not a problem. If there's any more questions, feel free to contact us. Jail Marine Power Pole is known for our customer service. So if there's anybody with questions, give us a ring, visit us online.
All right. Thank you very much, Kurt. And John Murray, we've got you on for a little while. Can we get you to stay on for a little bit and we can talk a little bass fishing for you? Like, what have you been doing during this hiatus and what you did this last weekend? I want to find out all about that. You got some time to spend with us?
I sure do. I'll stay with you.
All right, Stan, Wendy, and I, we're going to take a break right now. Hey, stay tuned. There's a lot more Rod and Reel Radio to come after these messages.
Turner's Outdoorsman, California's number one fishing, hunting, and shooting sports retailer, now has 28 locations. Turner's is your one-stop shop for fishing tackle, hunting gear, and everything for shooting sports. Turner's offers a full selection and unmatched prices on the gear you need. Whether you're planning a fishing trip with the family or chasing giant tuna, Turner's highly skilled staff will make sure you have the gear for your next adventure. Visit Turners.com to find a Turner store near you and be sure to join the Turner's Discount Club to get weekly ads and specials right to your inbox. Turner's Outdoorsman, your one-stop shop for all your fishing needs.
Hi, Roland Martin here. I'd like to tell you a little about Gary Yamamoto and the Gary Yamamoto Custom Bait Company. It all started with an idea, then a dream, and in 1983, the Gary Yamamoto Custom Bait Company was formed. If you know Gary Yamamoto like I do, and I've known him since 1983, you know he has a passionate love for the sport of fishing. That love is only matched by his obsession to design and produce the highest quality soft plastic fishing lures on the market today. Every bait Gary makes is inspected by hand. Today, more than 2.5 million packages of bait are shipped worldwide. On behalf of Gary and his staff, he wants to thank his customers for thinking so highly of his products and wishing you the great success of the sport of fishing. Whether you fish for fun or fish the tournament circuits like I do, you'll honor Gary for making Gary Yamamoto Custom Baits a key part of your fishing experience. Take it from me, Roland Martin. When I'm in need of a go-to bait, my first choice is a Gary Yamamoto Custom Bait.
Hey, bass fishermen. Who do you call for your bass boat insurance? Well, if you're not calling me at 1-800-BASS-BOAT for your boat insurance, you're probably paying too much and may not have the coverage that you need. In 1974, I developed the Bass Boat Program that is what all the pros use today. The reason? No depreciation or any partial claim for your hull, your big motor, your trolling motor, or your electronics until your boat's 10 years old. That's right, you only pay $250 to get your boat on the water for any partial claim, and we still pay a stated value replacement cost for your boat if you have a total loss. We're the only people in the industry that does that, and that's why we are the choice of the pros. So if you want the best, forget the rest. Just call 1-800-BASS-BOAT. Call 1-800-227-7262 or just spell Bass Boat. 1-800-BASS-BOAT. I know there's too many letters, but the T is free and the call's on me. That's 1-800-BASS-BOAT, the choice of the pros for bass boat insurance. For more information, log on to 1-800-BASS-BOAT.com.
Hi, this is Lori Heath. You may know me from some of the sports boats out of San Diego. I want to talk to you about something that's really close to my heart, the San Diego Blood Bank. Fishing for a way to make a difference in your community? Consider donating blood or making a financial donation to the San Diego Blood Bank. Your gift will impact medical research, revolutionize how we improve health and treat disease, and most importantly, give the gift of life. But we can't do it without you or without your help. Visit sandiegobloodbank.org to make an appointment or to give a financial donation today. It's the best way to give back. And just to let you know, I'm also a blood donor.
Hey, Stan, Wendy, and I, we want to welcome you back to Rod and Reel Radio. Later on this hour, Stan's going to be taking us through a tour of the Eastern Sierras. We'll be visiting Crowley Lake, June Lake, and Bridgeport. You're going to want to miss that to get the up-to-date information of what's happening over there. But we've asked our guest from the last hour to stay with us. This gentleman, a lot of you know his name from being out here in the West, but it's unbelievable. He's got 47 top 10 finishes in his professional career. And hold on, I got to correct this because I think after this last week, it might be 48 top 10 finishes. It's Mr. John Murray. John, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. It's just been nice to get back on the water fishing tournaments.
Oh, man. You know, John, we talked a little earlier. You moved from Arizona to Tennessee. Now you're fishing a lot of lakes that are on the Tennessee River. And I read in a comment that you were really having some trouble adjusting, and that Casey Strader helped you a little bit learn the intricacies of fishing the Tennessee River chain. What were some of the difficulties you were having, sir?
Well, I think the biggest difference is the flatness. These lakes are very flat. They have a main river channel, and then they have almost miles on each side of just ups and downs and rivers and or ridges and rows of stumps, and just totally different than we have out west. So it's all current related. These are basically just big flooded rivers, and so the current means everything. And how those fish relate to the current and that flat stuff, the one thing you'll find out here is there's nothing too shallow. When your trolling motor hits the mud, just keep going. You just raise the trolling motor and keep going, because those fish will get shallow sometimes. So there's those intricacies. It's like growing up on Lake Mead, things that I took for granted that I knew. You know, people come out there and go, wow, I never heard of that before. So it's just the intricacies of these lakes, and they're all similar in that way. So spending some time here, fishing with Wesley Strader and some of the guys out here that fish a lot, has really helped me understand these lakes a lot better.
You know, and every lake has its own personality too. You know, if you get to, especially on something that's as big as what you're talking about there, and you've got so much flat water that you have to look at and trying to figure out, you know, an area, just pick an area and go through it. You know, have you had the time to go through and kind of learn areas? Did you do that with Wesley, or did you do that on your own?
I did on my own. I live on Watts Bar, which is one of the upper lakes on the Tennessee River. And basically, I have a dock. I'd go out every day, and I'd just pick a new section of lake and learn it, fish it. You know, if I found a good area, that was great. And then I'd go to a different area the next day. And it just allows you to understand, you know, how these fish move and relate to these places. And I just really like the exploring. I mean, that's how I've always liked about bass fishing, is exploring around the next bend or behind the next creek. And so that's the mentality I took here. And I just spent a lot of time out here, you know, learning that kind of stuff.
You know, John, you just finished fishing the FLW Toyota Series tournament on Lake Pickwick. Was this one of the first big events that you fished after this hiatus with the coronavirus? And tell us how you did, because you at least got into the top 10, which was pretty tough in that event.
Yeah, it is the first event after the major event after the coronavirus. There's some team tournaments and stuff going on, but yeah, that was it. And so there was a lot of attention spent to it and how it was going to be run and how people were going to show. And it was greatly affected. I mean, it was viewed all over on the internet. And I ended up in the top 10. I was leading going in the last day, had probably the best spot on the lake. And the last day, my partner caught 19 pounds out of the back of my boat, and I caught 6 pounds out of the front. So it wasn't my day to win, but, you know, I didn't lose any or anything like that. They just didn't bite my lure that day. So found the best school on the lake, didn't win the tournament, but, you know, there's always one next week.
Well, I know, I didn't even think about that with Tennessee is in a lot different situation than, let's say, fishing in New York or New Jersey or California or Washington or some of these places. Was there a lot of the social protocols that we're seeing out here in the West and the East over there, or did it seem like everything was kind of back to, quote-unquote, normal?
No, they definitely followed the protocol. We had a virtual meeting. There was no meeting of people in the beginning. It was on a Zoom call, and then during the tournament, it was, you know, the partners, you know, definitely I had wipes in my boat. I mean, we did all this stuff. I didn't wear a mask, but some people did, I guess. And basically, it was the weigh-in was everyone was 6 foot apart. They really spaced out the time, so everyone, no one was in any groups. So they followed all the protocols, but it has been much more relaxed in the central part of the country, at least in Tennessee, than what I read about in California and some of the places. You know, it really didn't affect us out here too much. I mean, we're in the woods, the back hills of Tennessee, and it's been pretty quiet. But, yeah, they did follow those kind of protocols on this tournament.
Wow. You know, well, you got to be licking your chops now, because I guess the next big event, if I'm not mistaken, is Major League Fishing's heavy hitter event, and you're going down to Florida. Is that something that you're really looking forward to?
Yeah, with this problem where we canceled like three or four of our tournaments, this was supposed to be a qualification tournament. Only the top 30 were going to make it. And I had not caught enough weight to get in it. So now they've opened it up to all of our 80 guys. So all of us get to fish it. It's a huge financial, a huge money deal. Big fish, the last day, if you catch the biggest bass on the last day of this tournament, that fish alone is worth $100,000. Much Yippee. Less winning the tournament's worth $100,000. So, I mean, it's a crazy deal. It's going to be fun. It is going to be different being in Florida in June. Usually we're down there in January, but, hey, they say the big bass bite this week, so we're all looking forward to get down there and see what's being caught.
Now, you're fishing down in Florida. You know, you fished the Sacramento Delta. You fished Tennessee. You know, obviously you fished our desert lakes out here. Is this a completely different environment, again, for you to fish in that you've had to adapt to?
Yeah, just picture a big shallow bowl just full of grass. I mean, giant flat bowls, and that's what this is. So you have to actually find differences, maybe clumpier grass or open parts of grass or thicker grass or a little deeper grass. I mean, it's totally different than anything out west. And I've never excelled in Florida fishing yet. There's some guys, the Lane brothers and guys down there that really excel in it. So you basically, you know, I've learned a lot over the last 20 years of going to Florida, and I'm going to learn a lot this week getting down there and fishing in this type of weather down there, really hot weather. And so, you know, they say this is like the best time of year to be down there to catch the big ones. So I'm looking forward to get down there.
Wow. You know, and Major League Fishing, you know, we talked to you a little bit before you really started. You had some expectations. Tell us, how has it gone? How's it being received by the fishermen? Because obviously there's some guys doing really well, but in any type of tournament situation, there's always guys that are just hanging on by a thread. Tell us, what's the general feeling about Major League Fishing, how it's going and where it's going to after purchasing FLW?
Well, the one thing, it's a totally different world of tournament fishing than a five fish limit. It almost feels like the five fish limit tournaments to me are easy compared to it, because you are never relaxed in a major league event. You're always out. You can catch 10 fish in the first hour, and in a five fish limit, you probably, the other day I caught 20 pounds in the first 30 minutes. I had the best day ever. I just relaxed all day. You can't do that on this. So it's a different mentality. I'm probably one of the guys that hasn't really figured it out. I love it, but it's just tough because you never get to relax. But, you know, it's professional circuit. We don't pay entry fees. It's not, you know, it's just the way it's supposed to be for fishermen, and the guys love it. I mean, guys love it. The excitement's there. They could do a lot to promote your sponsors and promote the fishermen. So it's just a great atmosphere to be in, and I think everybody on our tour really enjoys it.
Well, it's such a different venue when you go out. I fished a couple of events out here where we had that type of format, and I got to tell you, the first one I just blew out because I didn't make the right decision right at the very first part of the day, where you could just go catch a load of fish and don't look for big ones. It's kind of a different scenario there. You want to catch them right off the bat and keep catching them all day. And that was really the toughest thing to adjust to. And then you're hearing from, when you start hearing what the other guys are doing, trying to figure out where you go to catch more when your fish run out, that's a tough scenario when they're telling you what you're doing behind you. But the event, fishing something like that, is extreme fun. I got to tell you, that was a kick. To be able to do it on the level that you guys are playing with that group of guys would be just enormously fun.
And, yeah, the score tracker really changes everything. When a guy's telling you, hey, you know, you go 15 minutes and you just fell 10 places, that's the stress right there. You know, before you're like, well, I'm probably doing okay, right? You didn't know you were doing bad. Now you know you're doing bad or you're doing really well. So totally changes your mentality. You go through the highest highs and lowest lows in this deal, and it's just a lot of fun.
You know, Major League Fishing just brought out, it seemed like it just bought it out, but FLW, and you just fished an FLW event. does there seem to be much difference that you can tell yet? Are they marrying each other really well, or they still have a little bit to go?
No, they did well. And basically, the FLW is just the feeder program for the Bass Pro Tour. So they've kept the same people running it. You know, everything's pretty much remained the same on the FLW side. You know, FLW has tournaments down to a T. I mean, they run BFL. They run so many tournaments out here. They're just pros at running tournaments. And so Major League has just said, hey, go do your tournaments. And then now we have a level. So a guy can actually go to a high school program and go all the way to the Bass Pro Tour. I mean, there's steps the whole way, and that's the whole idea here. So a kid in high school can say, hey, I'm going to be on that Bass Pro Tour someday, and actually have steps he can make it there. So that's what they wanted, and that's what they got. And so far it's been a perfect marriage as far as I've seen, just because, you know, they're both really good at running what they do, and it's just helped each other. You know, Major League's more into the media stuff, and FLW is more into tournament stuff, so it's worked out very well for both.
John Murray, just before we let you go, these have been hard times in the fishing community. You know, Rod Reel Radio, you know, our sponsors have stood behind us, and we're happy to have them. I'm sure you, not really going out and promoting yourself and your sponsors, probably have a difficult time. Who are the sponsors that are standing behind you and are taking you into the balance of the tournament season for 2020?
Well, I appreciate that question, but yes, Lucas Oil is my title sponsor, and they're still right behind me, and Six Gill Fishing is a new sponsor I have. They make all my rods and reels, and great guys out of Texas, have everything you need. River to Sea is my longest standing lure sponsor. They're still right there. And, of course, Mercury's been with me for 35 years. So they're wow. Standing right there. But Gill Fishing, and it is tough on everybody. And you just tell guys, hey, get out there. And, you know, out here, the tackle shops are killing it because everyone's fishing. So that's good to see. I mean, some of these little tackle shops have done their best year ever because everyone's out fishing. So I enjoy that part of it. And, you know, that's all we can hope for, is the fishing community sticks together and comes out of this, you know, relatively unscathed.
John, why don't we wind up having you on next month? Because it'll probably mean that you did really well in the heavy hitters tournament. That wouldn't be a bad deal, would it?
That'd be a great thing. That's a goal right now. Okay, when I win or top three of that thing, I'll be right back on this show.
All right.
I'm looking forward to that, John.
All right.
Hey, John, I know, again, you're in the Eastern time zone. Thanks a lot for taking some time to be with us. Always great talking to you, and we look forward to talking to you again here real soon.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Hey, good luck, Johnny.
Hey, Stan, Wendy, and I, we're going to take a break right now, but coming up next, our tour of the Eastern Sierras. So stay tuned. There's still a lot more Rod and Reel Radio to come after these messages.
Angler's Arsenal is the serious angler's first choice for hand-poured plastics, McCoy Line, Spro Products, Gamakatsu Hooks, G. Loomis Fishing Rods, Shimano Products, Ovid Reels, and just about anything you hear advertised on Rod and Reel Radio. Go to anglersarsenal.com and visit our online tackle store. See the huge selection of Western Plastics hand-poured baits, all at anglersarsenal.com. Angler's Arsenal Tackle Store is conveniently located in La Mesa, just off Interstate 8. Give us a call at 1-800-428-8730.
Every serious angler knows that a quality hook is an important part of their arsenal. Gamakatsu hooks are made from high-grade carbon steel specially heat-treated to make them light and extra strong but not brittle. Gamakatsu ring hooks are made with a one-piece ring, no welds, no weak spots, a very smooth-moving ring. Gamakatsu offers a huge variety of hooks for all types of fishing. Live bait hooks, both light and heavy-duty to four extra strong. Circle hooks, tuna hooks, ringed hooks, tuna doubles, and many more. Don't waste your next fishing trip on a cheap hook. Get Gamakatsu hooks at your favorite tackle store now.
We all like to travel, whether it's for business or it's pleasure. But one thing we all like to do, it's save money. Well, we got a travel tip for you. Bill Boyce has put together a travel website for you that can save you a lot of money. You can become your own travel agent. The site is bookwithboyce.com. You're going to save yourself 5 to 35% on all nationally advertised travel rates. You want to go to Mexico? You want to go to Hawaii? BookWithBoyce.com can offer you outstanding prices. And here's the deal. There's no surprises for accommodations, rental cars, or activities. So try BookWithBoyce.com now and thank Bill Boyce later on.
Quantum Fishing's gone and done it again for you with the brand new redesigned Smoke PT Reel Series. Everything from your spinning reels all the way to your bait casters, the PTA design has the new PTXA frame. Lighter, stronger, bone-crushing drag. Quantum Fishing. We are performance-tuned. Check them out at Angler's Arsenal or anglersarsenal.com or give us a call at 619-466-8355. Hey, everybody. This is a message for our listeners from a new Baja Magic Lodge at Cedros Island. Cedros Outdoor Adventures wants to make your dream of fishing Cedros Island a reality. Want to go after giant calicos or yellowtail with the best Cedros Island fishing organization, but you just don't know who to contact? Then give Cedros Outdoor Adventures a call at 619-793-5419, or even better yet, log on to their informative website at cedrosoutdooradventures.com. There you can visit their trip calendar and schedule a trip that's convenient for you. Once again, the phone number is 619-793-5419 or their website of cedrosoutdooradventures.com.
Rod and Reel Radio is brought to you by BajaBound.com Insurance Services. Are you driving to Mexico? You can buy and print out your Mexican auto insurance policy online in the convenience of your own home or office in minutes now with BajaBound.com's easy-to-use website. After printing your auto insurance, check out the BajaBound.com site. There, too, you will find great travel tips and information to help you get the most out of your next road trip south of the border. So this is an important fact to remember. Use BajaBound.com. It's the easiest way to find and get Mexican auto insurance.
Stan Vandenberg, Wendy Toshihara, and I, we want to welcome you back to Ron Real Radio. Hey, needless to say, we're happy to be back here live with you. You know, things are loosening up after this coronavirus shutdown. It's affected the fishing industry in both ways, both freshwater and saltwaters. No other part of the country was affected more than our eastern Sierras with the closures and the delay of the opening of the trout season. But you know what? That's all about ready to change. And I'm going to turn it over to Stan Vandenberg because Stan's going to take us through a tour of the eastern Sierras. And let's find out how that area is about ready to pop open now that we'll be able to go back there and fish again. So, Stan, you want to take it away?
Sure, happy to do that. We've been waiting for the trout opener since the end of April, which normally would be the time you got up there, but things have slowed to the point and we got coronaed out of here. We had the Alona virus, stay home alone. So now people this week have been able to go up to the Eastern Sierra and actually fish. And we're going to go up to the furthest point for the most part. If you're going up through the Eastern Sierra up to Bridgeport, you've got Twin Lakes, Bridgeport, you've got the reservoir down below, you've got East Walker, West Walker, and some of the other areas up there. And if you're going through Bridgeport, the first stop is at Ken's Sporting Goods right next to the oldest courthouse in California. And the owner of Ken's Sporting Goods is Mr. Jim Reed. And Jim, welcome to Rod and Reel Radio.
Thank you. How y'all doing?
We're doing well, my friend. So how is Bridgeport doing with this slow opener? And what's open, what's not, and how's fishing?
Well, the fishing is awesome. Town's slowly opening up. I'd say we're about half open, you know, about half the businesses in town. But the big thing is that all the lakes and all the streams are open in the area. The fishing's been phenomenal. So far, had a couple 9-pounders, you know. Ooh. Lots of 3 and 4 and 5 pound browns coming in, 3 to 6 pound rainbows pretty much every day all over the place.
Really?
Yeah, it's been really good.
Has the Twin Lakes been the spot? Is the reservoir been the spot? Where are they coming from and what are they throwing?
I would say probably the most big fish, big being 3 to 9s, have come out of the reservoir. Trolling is the real hot ticket. They're picking up some fish bait fishing, and there's starting to be some float tube fly guys showing up that are picking up some fish on streamers, but trolling Rapalas and trolling slow trolling night crawlers has just been deadly out there. Yesterday we had a 9-pounder and an 8-14, I don't know, 5 or 6 6 and 7 pounders. Today, this afternoon, I probably weighed 5 or 6 fish that were over 5 pounds for guys get their picture taken and stuff like that. It's been really good out there. And there's been a couple of 5s and 6s out of the twins. Didn't see any huge browns, but, you know, I didn't really expect to with the season being open so late. I think those big boys have kind of gone down a little bit deeper than most people can reach. But definitely some nice 4 and 5 and 6 pound rainbows showing up here and there up there as well.
Well, you know, normally on an opener, everybody's up at the lower twin and trying to find that bigger fish that's up there eating the kokanee. But, you know, being later in the season like this, that fish moves around and goes back down deep, like you're saying. But that the reservoir is not as deep, and it's got loads of big fish, which is always good. But yep, having 5 to 9 pound fish or 4 to 9 pound fish, you know, available for the guys up there, because has it been busy, a lot of people?
It's been okay. Nothing like you would expect for this time of year. You know, the Forest Service hasn't opened up their campgrounds, so that's a big bummer for people trying to camp on the Forest Service campgrounds. Mono County just opened up short-term camping in the privately owned campgrounds on Friday, so that kind of slowed up business quite a bit. Now that they've allowed that, and hopefully those Forest Service campgrounds will be open in the next week or two, I think things will probably start picking up quite a bit then. You know, it's been okay, steady, busy kind of, but not like you would expect for this time of year.
So right now it's just you can drive up. There's not a lot open for if you have campsites. They're few and far between. Call ahead and find out what's available if you're going up there. Was that an easy thing to say? I think if you're going to Bridgeport or upper or lower twin or even coming in through town there, do you have a knowledge of where people can go and where they can camp?
Yeah. The Bridgeport Reservoir Marina is open for camping, as well as boat rentals. Mono Village up on Upper Twin is open for camping, as well as boats, and their cafe is open. Lower Twin Lakes Resort, their cafe and their store and their deli is open. They're not allowed to – they're on a Forest Service lease property, so they're not quite allowed to rent to fishermen, only essential people, I guess, right now. But that hopefully will break again soon. Then you're allowed to disperse camp on the National Forest or BLM or state ground in the area. So there's people camping on Buckeye Creek and people camping up Green Creek and down along the East Walker and on the West Walker in some of those areas where it's just government property, but there's not an actual campground. That's, you know, they're welcome to do that.
So we're looking probably at a week or two before the rest of the camping arena opens up to the public. I would say call ahead if you're listening. Find out where you're going if you haven't got a place to go, because that's a long drive to get up there and then have no place to stay.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully, you know, we got our fingers crossed that everything's going to open up within the next week or two.
Jim, tell me, you know, you also have the Bridgeport Fish Enhancement Foundation helping you out over there. I see a lot of pictures from them in front of with fish that have been caught that they planted in front of Kent Sporting Goods over there. How important a resource is the foundation to your fishery up there?
Oh, it's an incredibly amazing resource. About 2 or 3 weeks before the postponed season opened, they stocked a truckload of average 7-pounders in Bridgeport. They have on the schedule, I think, 6 or 8 more plants for everywhere from Upper Twin and Bridgeport and the Virginias and the West Walker and Robinson Creek. You know, they kind of plant all those waters all throughout the year. As long as they can afford them, they try to get those fish that are all over 5 pounds. Sometimes they, you know, they might be 2.5 to 6 pounders, depending on what the people that grow the fish have and what they can afford. But yeah, it's amazing what they've done. You know, it brings a lot of people in to gun for those 6 and 7 and 8 pounders.
Wow. And the state of California, are they still working with a budget that hasn't been affected by this virus, or are you finding they're in a squeeze too?
Well, they pretty much have been on their regular schedule. I started seeing stock trucks go through in mid-April like they normally do. My understanding is that they kind of have these fish that are scheduled to get released in certain places, and they kind of have to get rid of them because it just costs them more money to keep them. I know there were trucks up at Upper and Lower Twin on Thursday, just a few days ago. That was the most recent ones that I know of. And then I did see one or two smaller trucks go through on Friday. I don't know where they were headed. They've been a bit tight-lipped on where they're putting fish and what their schedule is. It's not online right now. But they're definitely rolling through here every week or every other week.
I think for the most part, you know, that's been across the board. The trout trucks, even on the lakes down here in Southern California, have been planting places they haven't planted before because they needed to get rid of, just put the fish into play, and they didn't want to have to just let them sit there. So all in all, I would think, you know, if you're going to go up to Bridgeport, can people give you a call and find out where to go and what to throw? I mean, that's a stop if you're going up there anyhow. You want to look in the little ice chest. Is that freezer still out in front?
Oh, yeah. I think the biggest one in there right now is that 814.
Nice.
Perfect. Well, if somebody's coming up your way, Jim, what's the phone number to call if they want to stop and say hi, or if they want to get information as they're coming up?
Yeah, it's 760-932-7707, and we're here 7 days a week, just like always.
Perfect. Well, thank you, Jim, for the report. We'll stay in touch as we go through the summer season here, and hopefully we'll hear more about these big fish that are coming in, and the guys that are fishing them, I'm sure, you know, are being entertained by this with all the big fish that have been planted. But thank you for the report.
You bet. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you, Jim. Hey, Stan, we have our next guest on with another report. Would you like to introduce her?
Well, I'm happy to do that. I think we've got we're going back down to June Lake here because the June Lake Loop is always popular with the trout fishing arena. And June Lake is the first one you come to. And I think Adam Thomason is running that program. He's been there for the weekend. Adam, are you with us?
Yes, sir, I am.
Attaboy. Thank
welcome
you
to the show, Adam.
Yeah, welcome on. Welcome to the show. So tell us a little bit about what we're seeing at June Lake and how the fishing is and what the people can expect if they're coming up.
Well, the fishing actually was really good. I mean, it wasn't huge crowds per se. A lot of the campgrounds are closed, you know, at this point in time. But I tell you what, a lot of the people that I saw coming back in today especially did very well. We've been getting stocked still. So it's, you know, they've been putting fish in still for the last couple months, in fact. And as far as I can tell, I think the fishing's going to be probably better than ever.
Well, with the amount of fish that they've been putting in the lakes, and they've not been taken out because, you know, a lot of that arena up there is put and take fishery, but there seems to be a lot of bigger fish that have been planted. And without the pressure, you know, maybe they've had a chance to adjust a little bit. It should be a phenomenal season. What are you seeing, the fish that you're seeing, how big are you seeing, and what are they catching them on?
Well, the guys that I heard fishing today, you know, your classic power bait and mice tails, they were doing really well. I heard the guys that were trolling were not trolling very deep. You know, they were only going down 2 to 4 colors. And Thomas Boyant's Tasmanian Devils seemed to be the trick. A lot of people were really just using kind of the same thing as far as what I just mentioned. I didn't see people really straying off trying, you know, new exotic tricks or whatever, because I don't think it needed to be done. The fish quality, I would definitely say, was up. We were looking at, 1.5 to 2 pound average fish, which is really good for up there.
That's really good.
And then, in fact, over the weekend, we dumped in 1,200 pounds of 3-pound fish, which, you do the math, and, we tossed those in, so we saw a good amount of those come out as well. And that's just from the fish that we raised right there at the marina.
Wow. There's a lot to be said for that, because a little later on in the season, a lot of these bigger fish come up. They're not necessarily up and down all at the same time. So this fish moves around, and with the light crowds that we've gotten, this should be a bonus year for the fishery.
That's kind of what I was thinking. I mean, as far as fishing is concerned, there's no doubt about it. Like I said, it wasn't, the crowds were much less than just a typical, end of May, beginning of June, weekend, if you will, for obvious reasons. And, so what we saw there was pretty much never seen before, really. Just because there has been zero pressure. They've been stocking, the fish have been growing. Everything as far as a fishing standpoint has really gone in a good direction for anglers. Put it that way.
Wow. Adam, how about accessibility? Since you're starting later in the season, are all the roads and trails opened up now, or do you still have some closures, or what's happening?
As far as closures go, the main thing is the Forest Service campgrounds are still currently closed. They've thrown quite a few dates at us as to when they're going to start opening them up, and I think it's going to be more of a staggered process. They're not going to open every campground on the same day, but it looks like it's going to be anywhere from maybe the 5th to the 12th of June. There's no definitive answer, but that's kind of the answer that we're getting. I've been talking to some of the campground hosts up there, and in the area in general, and that's kind of what they're being told. It's going to happen sooner than later. At first they were saying campgrounds would be closed till July 1st, but that's not going to happen. I think everything's going to open up, quite a bit earlier than that. And that's just literally because of the demand.
Adam, what is the situation within, like, the town of June? There are the restaurants open?
They are.
Are there availability for rental and cabins or anything?
Yep. The short-term rental ban is still in effect. So as far as I know, hotels and Airbnbs, things of that nature are not available for rent as we speak. That could be lifted at any day. Beyond that, private campgrounds are open. And then, like I said, the Forest Service campgrounds are still closed, but there's such a high demand, that I think things are going to get open a lot quicker than sooner than later, if you will.
Fact
that everything else is open, restaurants and all that good stuff is available. So,
well, that right there is good to know. I mean, the people, at least that can come up there, know that they can go to have, restaurants and bars in town and have something to eat. They don't necessarily have to camp. So that part is good. Well, we will be in contact here as we go along through the year as normal. We'll check back in with you and check what's going on with June Lake and the facilities that are there. So thank you for the report tonight. And we will continue to check on the response from your big fish fishery as it goes on through the summer. Thanks, Adam.
You got it, Stan.
Hey, thanks for being with us, Adam. Stan, we've got our next guest on with another report, and I think you've got that information in front of you. You want to introduce our listening audience to what's up next?
Well, we're just going to go drop down from June at Crowley Lake and talk to Abby, who her husband was on the phone with us just a second ago. So this is a teamwork situation. He's running the June Lake situation, and Abby Thomason is running the opening entrance for the Crowley facilities down below. And Abby, how is Crowley Lake doing, and how's the fishery?
Crowley Lake is doing great, and the fishery is also seeming excellent after the first few days.
Well, I can only imagine with all of the fish that's been put in there and without the pressure that normally would be on the lake with wall-to-wall, elbow-to-elbow people, it's got to be pretty doggone good. You're open for putting boats on the water, slips are available, and rental boats are available?
Yeah, we just kind of started opening up this weekend and started with our private boats, and our rental fleet is actually going to start going out tomorrow, so people can come on in and take out rental boats, dock their boats, launch their boats, they can fish from shore. Fishing is open on Crowley.
Excellent. So have you had a pretty decent crowd come in?
We have. Now, yesterday, of course, it wouldn't be an opening day without some sort of weather. We had a bit of wind, so it stayed slow, although we had a few good hours where people were able to get out and catch some fish. And then today was a beautiful day, and certainly everybody came out today, and people were catching a lot of fish. They were doing great.
Any size a lot fish of happy that pumps. You saw?
What was that?
Any size to the fish? Are you hearing big ones? You know, I know that they've stocked a lot of the lakes with some pretty large fish because they needed to put them in somewhere. Did Crowley benefit from that also?
The fish looked really healthy. And to be honest with you, we haven't been, normally we would have an opening day contest and weigh all kinds of fish, and I have some real numbers for you. But definitely a lot of good sized fish, a lot of healthy fish. When you come right when the season opens and it's still cold, sometimes the fish are a little skinny, but they've all been enjoying the mild winter and feeding on bugs, so a lot of the fish looked really nice today.
Well, that's pretty excellent. Did you have a lot of people, did you hear from the people, the troll people, or did you have a lot of people on shore also?
You know, I will say that there's a few good spots on the lake, both at the South Landing and some areas up by Green Banks, where you can still do some good shore fishing. You want a steep bank where it drops off so you can get into a little bit deeper water this time of year. But we had folks bait fishing. We had folks trolling and people out fly fishing. And everybody was doing pretty well. It seems like right now you want to be in 25 to 30 feet of water, whether you're bait fishing or trolling. Folks were using Rapalas and Thomas Buoyant trolling, and that was doing real good. And then right now, I'll tell you, I haven't gotten to fly fish much yet, but I do live on the lake, and I observe the hatch and real big, big midge flies this year. So you want to tie on your large midge patterns if you're going to go out and do some fly fishing. And one thing that's really different about opening in June is it's perch season now as well. So I know a lot of folks actually come for the perch fishing. They love it. They're great fun fish to catch, and they taste real good. But definitely some perch being caught in the North Arm up in that area. So they're out and about. So it's pretty much game on, no matter what type of fishing you like to do or what kind of fish you like to catch.
As a lake, did they hold the water level this year?
They did. You know, the water level is pretty high, actually. And I feel like high is kind of a new normal. Since we did experience a drought, you know, for years, it seems like what they're trying to do is hold as much water as they can for when they need it. So the water level is a little higher than normal, and I don't expect it to go too low. It may get to more normal and just stay there, but so far it seems to be like the lake levels are being kept pretty high.
Well, is it higher than last year then for our start right now?
No. Last year it it got real close to the spillway, honestly. We're at, it's not quite that high, but it's a healthy level. It should look pretty close to normal for folks. No danger spots. You know, it's not low enough that you got areas or islands or things to look out. So it's a nice, fun level to get out and fish.
Abby, you mentioned the perch fishing. Is there a way that you fish for the perch, attention, Wendy, that you wouldn't necessarily use for fishing trout, or is it pretty much the same techniques?
No, there you can definitely go out and target those perch. Now, if you're whether you're fly fishing, a lot of fly fishermen and bait fishermen will get perch here and there for sure. Not as much trolling, but if you want to go out and target the perch, what you do is you want to use like a grub or something like that. They'll eat just about anything, but if you have like a power grub or like a, yeah, like you kind of want like a little swim bait.
Tube bait.
And then, yeah, they're called crappie nibbles. Any kind of, it's kind of like crappie fishing, I guess, huh? If you get a crappie nibble on there, oh man, you kind of seal the deal. So.
You know, the guys fish these little, there's little tubes that are on the market of various kinds.
Tubes.
And
Digging
you can
tubes.
Use
absolutely
any type of crappie, any type of crappie jig works on those things.
Right. How about possession, daily possession limits? How did the perch possession limit change from the trout? And what is the trout possession limit? And is the limit of any species, or do you combine them both, or what?
Well, how it works is the trout limit right now, we are in our regular season or general season, so it is 5 trout per day per person. Now, with perch, it's 25, actually. You can keep 25 perch per day. It used to be unlimited, and folks would catch, you'd hear about, oh, I caught 100 or this or that. But what I tell folks is if you want to stay out fishing, they're not treated separately. So if you catch 4 trout and you want to keep fishing, you know, if you catch another trout, you might let it go if you want to keep fishing, because whether the fish don't know whether you're trying to get a perch or a trout. So I would advise if you want to stay out fishing to just keep the 4 trout, and then you can catch up to 25 perch.
You know, Abby, a lot of the folks that come from the Southern California area here, they're used to a put-and-take program when it comes to the trout. In other words, if you catch the trout, you've got to keep it. You can't release it. Up there, is it a little bit different protocol? Can you release trout and try and catch a larger trout?
You know, there's not really a rule for that, and there's a lot of different types of anglers. Some people release all of the trout that they catch. Some people will release a smaller fish. You know, if you catch little ones that don't make a dinner, then you don't need to keep that. But I think the best practice is to catch what you want to eat for dinner within the confines of the regulations. And if you're fishing in a manner where you can release a fish safely, then you can do that as well. So, and I would say if somebody wants to know how to release a fish, if that's what they want to do, then to get one of the pamphlets that we have in our shop or talk to us about that, because we can help folks release fish safely, and that's certainly what a lot of folks do. They catch and release. So,
you know, the fly fishing arena up there is huge, and there's fishing guides that work out of Crowley Lake Fish Camp proper that can take you out and show you how to catch and release a lot of fish on the fly. And most of the guys that do the fly fishing up there, it's all catch and release. There are very, very few of them keep their fish. So that's a normal thing. You can always crimp down the barb of your hook on whatever you're fishing, whatever lure you want, if you're really not wanting to keep your catch, which is an easy thing to do, and it makes it easy for the fish to slide off at the end or release the fish. And there are techniques, you know, you've got to, if you're going to do that, even having the right net makes a difference, so you're not going to harm the fish. The older abrasive, you know, nylon nets with the knots in them are not what you want to use. So, and you can go in, actually go into the shop there, talk to the gang at the shop, any of the people in Crowley Lake Fish Camp, and they've got different nets there that they can actually show you what the right nets to use if you're not familiar. So there's a lot to it. Ask questions. That's the best thing I can tell you. If you're going to a new lake and you want to know what to do, ask a guide what they're doing. Hire a guide for a half a day.
Abby, in the few minutes that we have left here, tell us about the services that are offered by Crowley Lake Fish Camp, and how's the best way to get a hold of you?
Okay, well, and Stan, that was a really good point about the nets. I was going to bring that up. That's a really good point about catch and release. But so at Crowley Lake Fish Camp, as I said, we are opening for boat rentals tomorrow. We have private boats, dock slips, launch facilities, shore fishing, kayak rentals. We do have some limited dispersed camping right now, but not really anything as far as that goes. But we're keeping that information all updated on our website, which is CrowleyLakeFishCamp.com. You can email us through that website as well, and we have you can call into our shop to reserve our boats. All that information is available. I will say that our phone line at the gatehouse went down today, and it was a Sunday, and I couldn't get anybody to fix it. It's like, you know, you get as ready as you can, and then something like that's going to happen to you. So we're sorry to all the folks that weren't able to call up to our gate today, but we're hoping somebody comes down and gets that fixed for us tomorrow.
All right. Well, Abby, we can't thank you enough. You know, it's been busy for you up there to take some time out of your evening to be with Stan, Wendy, and I and our listening audience here. And we hope to be able, as Stan says, to check back with you as the season goes on. Is there any talk about maybe extending the season this year since you had a late start? Or is that just something that is way out there in the future and you're going to worry about it when it comes up?
Well, sir, to be perfectly honest with you, I did ask about that. I know it would mean a lot to several of our customers that aren't going to have an easy time getting up here and being able to fish before our restricted season starts. So I did actually ask about that. And it doesn't look like, unfortunately, that that's going to happen. When the emergency regulation went into place, it was only to delay or restrict fishing. It wasn't to allow for, you know, an extension or anything like that. So it doesn't seem like it's in the works for us. If anybody's familiar with Fish and Game or Fish and Wildlife, they don't get anything done too quick. So I don't think that's going to happen for us. But I would like to encourage people to try and come up later in the season in September, October, when the fishing on Crowley is just absolutely spectacular. We want to try and have a trolling extravaganza and get people introduced to the trolling on Crowley Lake in the second season and fix them up and how to do that. So I'm working on that and some other things, and so people can just, again, CrowleyLakeFishCamp.com to see what they can do here in our second season as well.
You know, and I'll be happy to help you with that. You know how that works. I've been
We have a group called. All right, yeah, Stan, I'll give you a place to stay, and you can come take people trolling on Crowley.
Well, I can at least teach them how. We've been doing it for this is our 35th year for FATIT, F-A-T-I-T, Finest Annual Trout Invitational Tournament. It starts the 11th and 12th of June. And I've been giving seminars at the country club down there in Bishop, along with the late now Brian Shibley. God bless him. Rest in peace, buddy. But we've been teaching people how to troll for big fish for years, and so I would be happy to be a part of that.
Okay, that sounds really great. I mean, I will say I like to do all the types of fishing, but something about just letting the boat do the work, that's pretty fun too.
Yeah, it is.
Abby, thanks a lot. Abby Tomlinson from Crowley Fish Camp. Thanks for being with us, ma'am, and have a great season. And I know you got a little bit to make up for, but it sounds like the fishing's going to be great and you'll be able to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. And we can't wait to have everybody up. We really can't. So thanks for the opportunity, and you guys have a great night.
Thanks. Abby, we'll keep in touch.
Sounds good. All right. Take care, guys.
Hey, guys, that's it for tonight. Stan, thanks a lot for bringing the special guest with us. And Wendy, congratulations. Another new career for you. I mean, you're salesman, mother. My gosh, I don't know what's next for you, but congratulations on that, ma'am.
Like, I don't have enough time, you know.
All
well,
right.
Now, you know, and now you know that the perch are biting at Crowley, you've got another venue.
I know. I want to go get those perch. I love those things.
All right. Hey, guys, that's it for tonight. We want to thank Jonathan filling in for Otto in the AM 540 studios, Ben Harvey, our local producer here in San Diego, and always in memory of Big Tuna Bill and Eddie McCune. Also want to remember Mr. Paul Leader from Elkhorn Ford. All help us keep on the air, but thank our sponsors. Please go and visit them, because without them, we can't bring this show to you. So until next Sunday night, good night, everyone. From Stan, Wendy, and myself, go out and get those fish. They're getting away.
Just a wishing.
Papa Bing, I've stopped by your place a time or two lately, and you aren't home either.
Well, I'm a busy man, Louie. I got a lot of big deals cooking. I was probably tied up at the studio.
You aren't tied up, you dog. You just playing old gone fishing. There's a sign up on your door.
Pops, don't blabbing around, will you?
Gone fishing.
Keep it shady. I got me a big one staked out.
You ain't working anymore.
I don't have to work. I got me a piece of Gary.
Cows need milking in the barn.
I have the twins on that detail. They each take a side.
But you just don't give a darn.
Give them 4 bits of cow and hand lotion.
You just never seem to learn.
Man, you taught me.
You ain't got no ambition.
You're convincing.
Gone fishing. Got your hound dog by your side.
That's old Cindy Lou going with me.
Gone fishing. Fleas are biting at his hide.
Get away from me, boy, you bother me. Folks won't find us now because Mr. Satch and Mr. Cross, we gone fishing. Instead of just a wishing,
bop, 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 bop,
oh, yeah.